Evening again, guys. A little bit better. Three last time, seven this time. We're getting there. Let's go. Climb that ladder. Yeah, that's right. So, hey, let me get you caught up on where we are. We're in the third week of our Names of God series. And last week, we talked about Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. And we looked at Abraham and Isaac, and Tara did a great job going through that story and talking about how God provides our every need. And then 2 weeks ago, we talked about Jehovah Rohi, which means the Lord is our shepherd. And we looked throughout the scriptures at every place that you find Jehovah Rohi and how he cares for us, how he guards us and protects us and all those different things. So we talked about that. Tonight, we're going to talk about one that I think the enemy is actually most intimidated by, this name of God. And really, for us, it's the thing that brings us the most peace. And it's this, Jehovah Shema, or Shama, depending on who you ask. In fact, let's settle this right now. What is it? Hebrew guy over here. What is it? What you got? Shema. Okay. All right. That's what I thought too. So I feel pretty good about that. But here's the thing. The enemy does not like Jehovah Shema because it is the Lord who is there. And what does the enemy like to do whenever you're struggling with something, a sin habit or a trauma or whatever the case is? He wants you to feel like God is a million miles away when in fact he's actually never been closer. You know, the scripture says that he's near to the brokenhearted. He wants to get in there. He wants to get into the wound, into the mess, into the deep, dark places. He wants to be there. Jehovah Shema. See, the enemy, he loves to get us isolated, or at least feeling like we're isolated. Why? Well, Peter tells us that he's like a lion looking for someone to devour. And who do lions typically devour? It's the one who's isolated away from the pack. They like to pick out the one who's behind or isolated. Thus, if the enemy can make us feel like we are isolated, that God isn't there, then he's got us right where he wants us. Because not only are you dealing with that sin habit or that trauma or that pain or whatever it is, now you've exacerbated the issue because he's thrown all these other things, including the fact that you now feel isolated. But the reality is that now and for all time, we always will live under Jehovah Shema, which is the Lord who is there. See, it's one thing to provide a need. And I don't want to diminish that because that's an amazing, amazing thing that God provides our need. But it's a whole other thing to be there, right? Because you could provide a need from afar, couldn't you? In fact, Morgan and I are watching this show called Outlast. It's a survival show. Anybody else watching this? Probably not. Nobody else in here is watching. Okay, let's go. One. I got one. I can go with one. But two. All right. Well, that's because I told you about it. But what they do, essentially, sometimes a helicopter will come kind of out of nowhere and just like drop a need down to them and say, here you go. We're going to provide this need for you. But yet there's no real relationship there. It's just somebody in a helicopter dropping a need down for that survivalist person. I think that's a lot of times how we look at God, that he's just standing high above us, throwing us a bone every now and then when we need a little bit of help. When we need something, a need that's met, that needs to be met, we just think there's a separation still, and he just drops that need to us. But Jehovah Shema shows us very clearly that that's just not the case. He is with us. He is always there. Same thing with Jehovah Rohi. It's good that he cares for us. It's good that he protects us. But you could protect somebody without really being there with them. But Jehovah Shema shows us we will always have him with us. And that is what brings peace in the storm, Jehovah Shema. What is it that brings security and comfort during times of pain? It's Jehovah Shema. What about while you mourn? It's Jehovah Shema. See, the enemy, that's why the enemy wants you to feel like he's a million miles away when in reality he's never been closer. Why? Because that's the thing that provides the most peace in our lives, is knowing his presence in the midst of whatever it is we're going through. This is why Morgan doesn't like it when I go out of town. It's for this reason, because she finds peace with my presence there at the house. And in fact, she finds a lot of peace with my presence there at the house. When it's time for bed, she'll put the earplugs in, she'll put the blindfold on, She's got this like special heated blanket, and man, she just goes right to sleep. I'm like, Morgan, somebody could come in here and steal everything, and you would never even know it. And I asked her, I said, why do you do that? And she says, oh, because I know if somebody came in, I know you got this. It'll be just fine. She does not like that I just shared that. Okay, well, I'll answer that later. But that's kind of the point, isn't it? That we can have peace in our life if we know that God is there. So tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to do just what we did a couple weeks ago. We're going to find a lot of places in the scriptures where we find Jehovah Shema, talk through that, process through it, apply it to our lives, all right? We see this in the beginning with Abraham. We also see it with Moses. When Moses is concerned about leading people and feeling ill-equipped, God says this in Exodus 33:14. He says, the Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And that's what compels Moses to put one foot in front of the other and go ahead and lean in and lead the people. In Leviticus 26:12-13, God is talking through his commands, and he says this. He says, I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with your heads held high. In Psalm 23, David says, fear will be eliminated because of the presence of God. Psalm 23:4. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me, Jehovah Shema. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And in Psalm 34, it's his presence that brings comfort to those who are experiencing pain. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And then Psalm 118:6. We do not have to fear what people can do to us because of his presence. In Psalm 118:6, it says, the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? And then in Isaiah 12:6, his presence allows us to sing songs of joy in Isaiah 12:6. It says, shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. His presence is completely sufficient for everything we need in Isaiah 41:10. It says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And then in Ezekiel, we see two pretty profound prophecies brought to the people who are really in a tough spot, in fact, in exile, away from the temples. The temples are in ruin and everything, and they're thinking, are we ever going to encounter God again, even? And it says this, Ezekiel 37:27. My dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Isaiah 48:13. This is the 48:35. This is the last line of the entire book here. It says, and the name of the city from that time on will be the Lord is there. And then in Zephaniah 3:17, we see the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. I love that verse because he delights in us, and he's a mighty warrior, both of those things. Now, before we get into Jehovah Shema in the New Testament, I want you to see how all these things really do point to Jesus. His presence among us all time is through Jesus to come. The reason we don't need to fear anymore is because our shepherd, Jesus, to come. Who is it that's near the brokenhearted? It's Jesus. Who is our strength? It's Jesus. The prophecy of God being there with us for all time, that's Jesus. His great love with which he has loved us, that's Jesus. It's all pointing to Jesus. It all foreshadows him to come. So then, when we get to the Gospels, Jesus himself, he has this profound, amazing moment in Matthew 28:20. It says, and surely I am with you always, to the end of the age. Isn't that amazing? I mean, this is this moment in time where everything has pointed to Jesus to come. And now he's saying, guess what? The time is here. I'm with you always till the end of the age. I mean, think about the people in Ezekiel who are just longing for that hope that maybe one day they'd have the presence of God with them again. And now our current reality is that because of Jesus being with us always, we always have him here with us. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it's incredible, incredible news. He is with us right now in this moment. Matthew 18:20, for where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. He's here with us here tonight. And in 2 Corinthians 6:16, Paul speaks over this direct prophecy fulfillment through Jesus. It says, what agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. We are that temple now where God dwells in for all time. Man, praise God for that. He's here with us right now. Jehovah Shema, the Lord who is there. And think about that from Ezekiel. Paul is saying that, you know, they were hoping that maybe the temple would come back. You know what I mean? I mean, they're in exile. The temples are in ruin, you know, and they're just thinking, man, wouldn't it be great one day to just have a temple again? And what Paul is saying here is, your body is a temple for God to dwell in, and he will never leave you or forsake you again. I mean, I think sometimes we think, okay, it's good that God's presence is with us, but isn't there something we can do to make him go away again? Right? Don't we ever have that thought of like, what if I mess it up too much? Well, Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, listen to this, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Why? Because Jesus has come and he said he will never leave us or forsake us. He is there. He is always there. We have everything we could ever need for all time. Why? Because he is there. He is here with us now. And then Revelation 21:3, it says, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Again, it's one thing to provide. It's one thing to protect. It's a whole other ball game to have his presence with us. Go with me to Genesis chapter 39. Jehovah Shema is the ultimate trump card in this situation. We see Joseph, man. Joseph's over here talking about his dreams. He's like, I don't get it, but like I keep having these dreams where you guys keep bowing down to me and stuff, and then he wonders why they're mad at him. But they end up selling him into slavery, and he ends up being away from his father, who he deeply loves and who deeply loves him, and he goes to an entirely new country, and he's sold into slavery, into this house. And yet, the very next line is, the Lord was with him. Like, as if to say, it's going to be okay here. It's going to be okay here. Why? Because the Lord is with him. And then, when he gets accused of doing the exact thing he refused to do, he gets accused of sexual assault when he told this man's wife over and over, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. And what does she do? She accuses him of doing it. And then what does it say next? After he's kicked out and he's put in the jail where under the Pharaoh's castle or palace, what does it say next? But the Lord was with him. It's like this ultimate trump card, as if to say, everything's going to be okay. Doesn't matter, you know, how you're unfairly treated or what you have to go through, everything's going to be okay at the end of the day, because if the Lord is with you, everything is going to be all right. Now, let's review a little bit from some of the things that we've learned about his presence. This is why we can have peace in every one of these situations. You want to go ahead and throw that slide up there. So Jehovah Shema provides peace when we experience inadequacy. Exodus 33:14. When we're enslaved to sin, Leviticus 26:12-13. When we experience fear, Psalm 23:4. When we experience trauma, Psalm 34:18. When we experience the threat of physical harm, Psalm 118:6. When we experience mourning, Isaiah 12:6. When we experience dismay or weakness, Isaiah 41:10. When we experience a lack of hope, Ezekiel 37:27 or Ezekiel 48:35. When we experience a broken spirit, Zephaniah 3:17, all these things, we can have peace. Why? Because God is with us, the Lord who is there. See, if we focus on His presence, we can always experience His peace that He provides. Now, at this point in time, when we're not going through dark valleys or deep pain, we ought go ahead and practice His presence so that when those things do come, we know we can run to Him and experience His peace. So, in closing, there's three things that I want to process through that will help us to start practicing His presence with us right now. Number one, start by inviting Him into what you are already doing. So, one of my favorite things with my girls has been the seasons in time where they'll be doing things, and they'll go, "Daddy, come here, check this out." You know, if they've drawn a picture, or they're starting to draw a picture, and they want me to join them, or they go see a butterfly, or something like that, or they're learning to clean their room, or something, they'll say, "Daddy, come check this out with me. Come do this thing with me." And because I've been present in those moments, then when they scrape the knee, or they are really sad about something, what do? The same thing. "Daddy, Daddy, come here, come here, come here." What would it look like for us in our day-to-day life while we're doing the dishes to say, "Father, come with me. Come join me. Come with as I go clean the dishes today." Or as I take out the trash, as I sit in the car, as I go to work, as I serve somebody, as I sit and just have a little bit of time, what would it look like to say, "God, come with me. And then if we do that, then we recognize that we can do the exact same thing. It'll be like an automatic response almost, that when that pain comes, when something's very difficult, we go straight to Him instead of giving in to what the enemy wants us to do, which is to be tempted to think that God's a million miles away and He doesn't care. Because why? We've been practicing His presence with us. We've been practicing the fact that He's here because we've invited Him in throughout our regular life. And now when pain comes, we got a battle plan ready and we just run right to Him again. And what does He do in those moments? He provides peace with His presence. When those storms come, we will experience peace as we practice His presence. And the second one, and you guys have heard me say this a million times, so I'm not going to spend too much time here, but spend some time in silence. Remember, you don't need to run to catch up with God. I mean, don't we think, "What's God's will for my life? What's God's will for my life?" And we run and we try to figure it out. To experience God's presence, it's by slowing down. You know, there's so many voices that speak in today, and I do think God is a gentleman, and He goes, "All right, I'm going to wait until all those voices are silenced, and then in the stillness of your heart, I'll speak into that." I think if we want to experience God's presence, it's more like sitting in a rocking chair beside your best friend and just chilling. With no agenda, just hanging out and just experiencing each other's presence. I think as we do that, we start to really recognize the fact that He's with us. And if we recognize that He's with us, then we can begin to experience some peace. But then hopefully, one day, the third one, we hope to get to the point where we no longer are inviting Him into what we're doing. We actually get to the point where we trust Him so much, we grow in our trust so much that we simply say, "God, wherever You're going, I just want to be a part of that. I just want to go with You." Remember 2 weeks ago we said that over time, you start to think less about what you're going through and more about who's carrying you through. And isn't that maturity in the faith, that you recognize His presence so much that he's got you? And so consequently, everything else becomes details at that point. You're like, "I'm with You, and You're with me, and this is good, and this is where my peace is found. So whatever You want to do, God, I'm on board. I just want to go wherever it is that You want to go." Now, in the first example, I told you I love the season where the girls say, "Hey, Daddy, can you come and be a part of this thing that I'm doing?" Well, here lately, my oldest has gotten to an age where she started to be interested in what I'm doing, which is an interesting time. It's like, "Daddy, what are you up to today?" And I'm like, "Really? You want to know what I'm doing?" And I think there's been so much trust built up over time that now as she grows and she matures, she wants to know where I'm going. Because why? Because she thinks, at least, that whatever it is that I'm doing, it must be good. It must be a good thing, right? Is that always true? No, but that's what she thinks. And so I get to show her, I get to impart some things into her to say, "Yeah, I'm doing this thing. I'm going to a hospital visit, and it's good. And I'm going to go tell this group of people about Jesus, and it's good. And this couple that's been arguing, man, I get to step in and help them to see Jesus and obey Jesus through it all, and it's good. And the vulnerable who need protected, I'm trying to step into that, and I want to do it because it's good." And so she's now starting to want to walk alongside of me in that and say, "Dad, I just want to go wherever it is that you're going." I mean, wouldn't it be great for us to get to a point where we practiced his presence so much that we experienced his presence enough to go, "Dad, whatever you want to do, let's just go. Let's just do it." Are you practicing his presence here tonight? Are you saying, "God, where are you going today? What are you doing? I just want to be a part of it"? Because all I know at the end of the day, just level with you guys, is it was the presence of God that got me through my panic. The worst times in my life, it was Jehovah Shammah that got me through it. And even still, sometimes I resonate with Moses when he's like, "God, you're going to have to pick somebody else. I don't know what to do here." And when God says, "I'm with you," it's what gives him the strength to put one foot in front of the other once again and say, "Okay, if you're with me, then let's go." Are you practicing his presence here tonight? Because if not, then when those storms come, when that pain comes, the enemy's going to step in and he's going to go, "Hey, God doesn't care. God's a million miles away. You're isolated now. You got to deal with this on your own." But if you've been practicing his presence, then you recognize God is with me. And I can endure all situations. Why? Because God is with me, and he provides peace in the midst. The Lord is always there. Because of the cross of Jesus Christ and his resurrection, the enemy can never say again, "The Lord is not there." Because the Lord will always be there. Jehovah Shammah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence. Father, if there's anybody here who they just haven't experienced the fact that you are really just with them. And it's been kind of an opposites thing. It's been, you know, "God doesn't want to be with me because I'm struggling with this thing." I pray for just truth to manifest in hearts right now to say, actually, it's the exact opposite. It's God loves to be in the mess. God loves to be deep in the wound and in the hurt and in the sin. God wants to be there in that weakness. Father, I pray that you would shun the enemy and his desires for us to think that you're a million miles away, when in fact, because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, you are always, always there. Father, give us eyes to see that reality right now in this moment. Love you very much. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, if you guys need to come to the altar, I'd love to pray with you. Pray in your seat, stand up, worship your guts out, whatever you need to do.